If you're into designer furniture and you want the sofa that broke the internet, you don't have to go broke to get it. Because Designer Looks Furniture has all the same styles and trends and all the quality, but without the designer prices. Check them out. Designer Looks at Value City Furniture or designerlooks.com.
Welcome to our second episode of the Roman Atwood Podcast. And today, very special guest, one of the most special guests. The only reason I'm sitting here, the only reason Brittany has this type of husband,
yes,
is because of you, Pops. My dad is here. And then first episode, we all talked about having you immediately on this podcast.
Wow.
So thanks for being here.
Yeah, so Roman was disciplined. I think there was only one time I really had to attack you.
Oh, dang, you're just going right into it.
Yeah.
I was expecting you to say, hey, hello.
Well, you know what? When you start saying that's
when you say that type.
Sheesh.
That's why he's got, that's why she's got a husband like that.
I know exactly what
you remember when you were picking on Sue infinitely one time.
And I don't remember it being about mom, but
you just were just torturing her.
That's where Cain gets it.
She finally just said, go.
I always thought I was faster than you was the problem, but man, you could move. I remember we had a house where you could run. There was two sets of stairs going to the upstairs, and that was a loop. And I could get you a couple loops, but you would always catch me.
You had it easy though. My father used a belt on me.
Yeah. Now you go to jail for that.
Really?
No, but he did.
Britt's like, I'm going to jail.
One time we had our. My grandmother living at the house, and all of us kids were just torturing her and making fun of her, and she's pretty much paraplegic, kind of. And my mom said, when your dad gets home, you're going to get it. So all day, us kids were running around and making fun of, you know, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. But when he got home, he beat us all with a belt. And we really had it coming, too.
Such different times.
Well, now it's spare the hand, spoil the child, not... You know,
I feel like we're
spare the rod, spoil the
it's
child.
That's a big lack in society.
Yeah,
like that. Everything's so like sensitive.
It's discipline that makes you great.
It really is.
You watch all these greats; they've all been disciplined, usually tortured, and they become great.
It's true.
Our kids are going to be great.
Make our kids great again.
You have to lose everything to become great.
No, you don't have to be beaten, but the discipline is important.
Yeah, you're not great till you lose everything, and then realize that hey. I can rise above. I can get higher than where I'm at. And then if you don't, well, that's it.
So,
what do you want to talk about?
I want to bring up that it took many years on my first YouTube channel to hit 100,000 subscribers and get that silver play button. This was such a big achievement when we started YouTube. This was a tremendous feat. And this podcast, before the first episode, has got a silver play button. We did 100,000 subscribers in 2 days.
Really?
And it took years in the past.
That's just not fair. Or is it?
So I just want to thank everybody listening, everybody watching. This is this achievement's because of you guys. You guys came here, you blew it up, and now we get to have fun.
That's pretty cool.
Yes.
Because I remember the day when you were actually trying to achieve the first 10 cents, 50 cents.
Yeah.
And I tell you a little story about Roman when he was young. Since Roman was, I'm going to guess, 8 to 10 years old, he wanted cameras. And Roman never had any money for any cameras. So we were constantly making deals. I was a brutal father because I'd bring work home from work. Like we had these bobbins at work that always had to be stripped. So there was always infinite work for the kids. So the deal was you have to do this to get this. But Roman always needed money for cameras. And even from the very first one, I think we split the money on and he'd go through it and it was never good enough. Then we go get another one and he'd make these deals. I'll pay you tomorrow for a hamburger today type thing. And we went through that. And here's the truth. And this is where it gets really cool. He never, in my mind, and how I remember it, he never ever paid off his debts to me on those cameras until the very last one. And we bought this like supersonic, was that a Sony?
Yeah, it was way above my pay grade.
I don't know. It was a big, heavy camera, and you know, you probably make movies with it, but then you couldn't, because then he found out there's these $25,000 ones you can get. But anyhow, his videos took off, and on that last camera, he actually paid me in full for that camera, and I always thought that was really cool. So, it's just a cool story.
Yeah. No, you definitely had my back.
But you
definitely had my back.
You know, it says something.
You're a smart dad, though, because you put work into us. You taught us work. This mm-hmm. is something I'm working on with my kids. I'm scared to death. They see me. They don't even see me make money. How do I make money?
I don't know how I would have taught kids to work nowadays with these phones and computers.
But also, like,
it's pretty distracting. Maybe I could teach them how to do genetics or biolab stuff on them or something. Hey, we're going to recreate some animals here. Let's mix them up. You got to teach kids something, you know, at a young age.
I'm
about
scared.
Work.
I'm scared. I watched you and mom work harder than anybody I've ever met.
We did.
And my kids, they don't get to see that. Noah has seen me in the grind.
He did.
He saw me have to travel. He saw me have to produce. But now my kids see me like with a laptop. And they're living this luxurious life, and I'm scared.
Well, you showed them how to do it without too much sweat, although there's a mystical sweat in it.
There's a past sweat.
There's an unseen.
That they haven't seen.
There's an unseen work in it, and I've seen so many people try to do it, and it's really actually miserably hard. You got to give everything you got away. You got to like puke out your life on everybody, and it becomes. That's what people want.
Yeah,
they want you to give yourself away and really know the deep,
mean,
dark
I never,
stuff.
I never, you know, if you taught me, the most you taught me was work ethic. Are you serious? I mean, that's, we were doing flea markets as kids. We were going to Vegas to trade shows as kids. We were hand selling rope as little boys with cash and exchanging and learning how to speak business and sell. And that has come with me into YouTube and being able to speak to a camera, to be able to communicate and inspire those ethics of working nonstop. That you handed that to me.
This, it, you know, true story. We used to do lots of flea markets, and I remember one.
I miss flea markets, man.
Yeah, I remember doing this one. I was totally out of money, zero, and I spent like all day at this one. And I made $15. And I remember heading home, and Sue calls me and says, "Man, we're so out of milk and diapers and everything." So it literally just
all 15
bucks. Every bit of it was gone. And yeah, that was the start. And then as it got better, we started doing like about, when we got good at it, we were doing like $1,000 a weekend just on flea markets. So before they were saturated with Chinese merch, but we got better and better.
That is true. I remember that stuff coming in. It was like,
yeah,
it's getting hard to sell our stuff because theirs is $5.
But anyhow, yeah. And then I remember as we got older, we would hear, it was one of Sue's famous lines. Like if she didn't want to do something, she'd say, "I worked my booth."
She did.
Because we were in so many booths. She would just say, "I worked my booth, you know, go, you know." And so
that statement stuck for a long time.
Yeah, I worked my booth.
I worked my booth. That, yeah. That meant I did it for the last 20 years.
I've done my shows. So
mom was a powerhouse.
Yeah.
You know, there was a moment where that quote was almost on that gravestone.
Yeah, I know.
I worked my booth.
That was part of the decisions.
It really was because yeah. She said it so much, and she really did.
I know.
Man, she worked her booth.
Yeah, I tortured her. I did. But when we were young, when she didn't have anything to do, she was dangerous. Like, out of control. She was chaotic. She like, was, people need things to
see,
do.
I just see this alley cat.
Yeah, no.
Getting in the dumpsters.
I know, but, you know, we had to start working together. It was the only way to really keep us together.
Well, oddly enough, Britt and I work together 24/7. There's not a single business venture we do solo.
Yeah, you have to be a team. You got to be a team. I tell people all the time, you know, they like, they're dating someone for 5 years and they're living with them and everything. And like, well, we're not married. I'm like, well, good Lord, you can build a kingdom about 10 times faster, united and together. Just get it on. If you love them, you love them like a wife, make them your wife. You love them like a husband, make them your husband.
By the way, I heard this for many years because Brittany and I were together for many years.
You can build a castle so fast, united. But if you're always edgy, iffy, fence rider, yeah you're out.
Chris Rock says it really well.
Really?
He says something about a marriage isn't hard. God, I forget the quote. He's basically like, it's hard when only one of you are putting in the work. He's like, it's really hard to move a couch by yourself. But with two people, it's a piece of cake. Yeah. It's very similar to what you're saying.
I like castles better, but hey, couch, all right.
But it's the simplicity of it takes two people to make it happen.
I know a lot about couches.
You do, man. I don't know if anybody missed episode one. Country, how is the couch?
Broken.
I want to let you know. I could be a professional couch salesman right now. Yeah. You want me to sell you a couch? I could sell you a couch. I know everything about
it. I don't really think you can, Country. Someone went in and one of my friends just bought a couch. They told him 15 weeks delivery.
Well,
yeah, that's
15
true.
Weeks.
Yeah, it's tough times you right
can't
now
get,
for couches.
You can't get furniture right now if it's everything's sold out.
Well, I'm starting an online app that for all married men, you're in the hot seat, get rid of your couch. I'm guaranteed everyone will be purchasing couches.
Now, do you use like a pull-out couch so you got room? Or
You know, you figure it out as you go. You feel it was the most comfortability.
The college couch.
Are you due to knock on the door at night? Can I come in?
You know, my wife loves me. my wife knows I'm a jokester, man. Big shout out to Christina, man. I love
absolutely.
Her.
Absolutely.
And she
took one for the team last episode.
Did she freeze off for a little while there after watching that video?
He slept on the couch.
Well, slept on the couch. No, she's been good.
I did go ahead and call her this morning, just ask, is it okay if Country's here today? I want to make sure.
She actually died laughing about the whole, she said, I can't believe you're talking to the family about like, me hitting you up on is having a baby.
Being an Avenger.
But she goes, I didn't really know, like, I actually do that. And, like, to the point that it's like, man, it's serious. It's all business. So, yeah. So I said to her, I was looking for some advice and guidance. And I still haven't seen the app, but I told her my app was, I needed to make up. And I told her my app went off and I said, I'm ovulating. And I said, let me get off this couch and let's have some fun. But this weekend, we had a great time. We visit family. We had a beautiful time. And I tell you this, she was super proud of the first show.
Yeah, we had a watch party for the first episode with the family on my birthday. And Country said some things about his wife, and it was awkward because we're all in the same room. And those jokes didn't seem awkward when we were here on the table.
Yeah.
But when Christina was behind me, when Country's wife was behind me, and he was saying that when he put that ring on her, that was like putting the final stone in the Avengers' glove.
It was the witness of the crime.
But no, she's a good sport. She's a good sport.
Yeah, she took
I think Britt would have been fired up.
Yeah. No, that's what I said. I was like,
sweet. First of all, I would have never said those things about you because you're an angel.
Yeah. Perfect. I mean, especially in the beginning of our relationship, there was always big struggles.
Yeah.
There's a fly in here.
Yeah, I know. We need the assault gun.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Got to keep those around.
Like some lights.
Yeah, so when you guys were first together, I remember I told Brittany, I don't know that you were there. I said, you guys should get married. You'd have beautiful kids.
It's probably like day one. We got to get this fly. We got to get this fly. Yeah. Get him, Dad. Get him, Dad.
Right now, Kid.
Hold on. Dad'll
get him.
Don't move.
Oh, he wants
it.
He's trying to get it.
What do you guys got in that dumpster out there?
Yeah. Well, we put a little meat sock underneath your chair.
Yeah.
So I'll never forget going to tell you and Sue when I was pregnant with Kane. I was like, "Yeah, I'm pregnant," and the first thing out of Sue's mouth was, "Well, what are you gonna do?"
Mom said that?
Yeah. Like, as in, like, are we going to get married? Yeah, are we going to, you know?
Yeah,
like,
mom wanted us to get married so bad.
Yeah. I was like, well, I'm going to have a baby. I don't know.
It was better than your mom's reaction.
It's because you never listened to my advice.
Yeah. Well.
It took a while.
Yeah.
It's wise men doing the beginning, fools doing the end.
Yeah, that's my line there.
No, but we that mom's reaction was that, but your mom's reaction was to put me in a headlock.
Yeah, she wasn't happy either.
No, she actually did. She was.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it was like serious, but joking.
Mm-hmm.
I think
if she saw you right now, she'd do it again.
Yeah, maybe. Probably.
I don't know, man.
It's hard to keep families tight.
Hard to keep. Yeah, from having kids. I think I've always, a lot of this career has always been given back to you and mom, trying to find ways to, you know, you don't forget those things. Those early days where I had no money and you were loaning me $5,000 when I didn't have $1,000 in my bank account.
Yeah, but you were going to work it off.
Yeah.
And then you had to fire him from the factory because he would just come in and work on his videos.
We had so many fights, but
there's a point as a father, you realize that this kid is not going to do this, but if I can do anything to escalate him into his career, that might actually save me.
Yeah. Right.
To some degree.
There was a moment where I was grinding YouTube for a couple years. And I was still working full time in your factory, but it became that I was just showing up to the factory and I was working on YouTube.
That's right.
And it finally, for a while, you guys put up with it.
I bit my tongue a long time.
And then there was this explosion of like, Dad, I'm trying this. I blew up. But then it became mom and dad really just saying, you need to just do YouTube. We're okay with you not working.
That's true.
And they, I was too scared. All I knew was Rope Factory. That's it. I was too scared to take a jump to YouTube, right? I didn't know how to do that. But as soon as they passed that torch of it's okay to leave this family business, that's when my YouTube career really took off.
There's a couple different things too. The one thing that happened is I remember you making the videos, the skits, and you were ready to give them up.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, you still got to produce, you know, like at least one a week or one a month or something. You can't give up. And then you got the check for 56 cents or something.
It was huge.
But you were hugely proud of it.
Yeah.
And I remember you bringing it to me and I remember what I said. I said, well, it proves you can make money out of it.
I'll never forget you. I know exactly where I was standing and where you were kneeling when you said that.
Yeah. And I know that was a changer. That was the changer that you could make money out of.
Yeah, it was like maybe a couple years into it.
But the other thing is, and this goes for everybody, you'd already done, I don't know, 50 videos. So when people did find you and you hadn't quit, there was so much to dive into.
Yeah.
It wasn't a blank sheet.
There was like an archive.
Lucky guy, one lucky strike. Yeah. Once they found your name, it's like, okay, here we go. And then, you know, you dive into all the productions. And so not quitting, sticking it out, keep going, even though it was totally unprofitable.
It cost me money.
And all the people in the past that donated their time too, all those different people.
Yeah. I remember two exact times of quitting YouTube. Like, I'm done with it.
Right.
And there was something that kept me going. And it was really after that everything happened. It's like you have to, when it's that hard, that's the moment you have to keep going. I mean, you started your company from zero. And you didn't have a successful Rope Factory day one.
You left your dad's company too, right?
Yeah, I left my father's company, started a company like his, which made me a black sheep for quite a while. But it wasn't intentional. This is part of growing up, and then moved into some other businesses and what really wound up in pretty much nothing he did anymore, which I think made him real happy. We wound up the best of pals with my father, and my father taught me work. I mean, he had me running a lathe at in middle school, you know, I was probably seventh, eighth grade, running a lathe all day, making pins and...
That's cool. I've never even heard that.
Awesome. It's true. Yeah. And he'd have me mow lawns and...
He taught you work.
Yeah, he taught me work.
Physical.
I'd go into work with him, and he taught me how to sew. I sewed for him for a lot of years.
So awesome. You know, your dad said two things to me that I remember to this day.
Wow.
One of which was, if you want to make money, have kids.
Mm.
And I remember being mind blown. That sounds totally opposite. Most people, I said, well, I want to make my career first. That's right. First.
Let me get my house established.
Let me
have my fortune, and I'll bring her into my home, and we'll get married.
So I never understood that. I was young when he told me that. Wow. Oddly enough, I have made more money with each child.
And that's...
There is a new motivation that comes into this body when you have a child.
So let's just say this. My father had 11 children. One with his first
Your
wife.
Your father was all business. Without a nap?
Well, there's such infinite stories in people's lives. I mean, you could set anyone here in this chair and they could tell you, you know, what went right, what went wrong. And sooner or later, we're all going to sit in this chair and tell everyone what went right and what went wrong. But he told me, like, every time he had another child, he made more money.
Mm.
And this is coming from a guy. So I grew up with 10 siblings. I was number three. And my father went bankrupt right out of the chute. So we started in a little house in Brookside, Reynoldsburg, with three rooms. And there wound up 10 of us in there. And we were just packed like sardines.
Three bedrooms.
We like destroyed the house. I mean, like... I go back and they've actually rebuilt it. But when we left it, it was like a disaster. And the guy who rented it to my father, and my father, it took him years to come out of the bankruptcy. Some guy embezzled
screwed him over.
Yeah, some guy embezzled his money or whatever. And he had a car wash at the time. And
The second piece of advice your dad gave me,
yeah,
to this day I still want, is a car wash. He told me to... buy a car wash.
Yeah, he says it's a great cash business.
And to this day, I pass car washes like, man, I wish that was for sale. I'm going to buy a car wash one day.
Yeah, his advice to me was always...
I'm going to call it Grandpa's.
So after his after his partner in his first business embezzled all the money and bankrupted the company, his second piece of advice to me was never go into business with anybody. Mm. So I don't know how much wisdom's there, but I've tried to live that too, and... it's proved to be pretty good.
Keep it small, keep it all.
Ooh, that's our surfing friends line. Wherever you're at, dude, we love you.
So I remember as kids, we grew up poor, very poor. I remember being able to see through our bathroom floor into the gravel as you're taking a leak. You could see the gravel under the house.
It's true.
And I remember walking to that bathroom, you would have to dodge the slugs that was in our laundry that was on the floor.
So
we had slugs all over the house.
At
night you couldn't see them.
That area was by a lake. But one of the interesting things is I bought a really cheap house, like the cheapest house I could find.
How much was the house?
It was $23,000 at the time.
1982?
It took two mortgages to get it because the bank would only give me 13, and then the actual owner of the house gave me another five.
How much was the house?
It was 23,000. And then I had to come up with that little whatever the indifference was. But it was a wreck. Like, I mean, it was...
No, I remember the ceiling falling in. I remember...
But one of the most incredible events was we were living there for a while, and... one day we just noticed like this abnormal amount of flies. Like, I mean, flies like you've never seen before. And so I'm like, something's wrong. Well, this thing had zero hardly crawl space. Like to get under it, there was a hole, but it was like filled in with mud and everything. And so you had this little gap you had to like try to crawl in to see. So I was like, I'm not going to do that. So I ripped the bathroom floor up. And here, the... plumbing to the sink in the kitchen and everything was just cut off. So
just draining everything.
So for all this time, all the plumbing's just pouring out under the house. And this is the honest truth. The whole thing was alive with just maggots. I mean, it was just a sea of maggots swimming under that house.
Why can I see that so well?
I know. And then we took a bunch of bleach and
just
tried to kill everything. And that was kind of...
You know what's weird about growing up like that? I never, ever have any memories of thinking that we were broke or poor or...
Nah.
It was just life. And we had such a good life.
Nah, kids don't care that you don't have money. We grew up... To this day, you know, we were packed in that like sardines. But honest to goodness... We didn't have any money either, but we made the most out of everything. We had what was called TP day, and that was trash picking day. And lots of times we'd camp out the night before. And then early in the morning, we'd run the streets and find all the lawnmowers and junk and Playboy magazines, I remember.
Everything, stuff.
Anything anyone would throw away, man. We were sharking it. And
was any feet pics inside the Playboy magazine?
We won't go into all that.
We read the articles.
Yeah, we were kids. We didn't look at the pictures.
So is this, I remember a story. Tell me if this is true or not. I remember there's a story about you guys metal detecting for diaper money. Is that a true story?
Well,
I remember the story.
So for a while, me and Sue were metal detecting everywhere. Like that's just what we did. And
it was a hobby.
Yeah, we could probably do, this is back then, we could probably find $15 a day doing that just in coins, and we'd find some silver coins still back then. That was pretty that was pretty early.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. And so they were worth a little more. And
then you'd use that money for real life.
Yeah, whatever.
It wasn't collecting. It was
I don't have a bucket of it anymore. It's all gone.
Had to use it.
Yeah. And we found a lot of cool stuff doing that. That was back before everything was too overhaunted, but there's places that's still cool.
I mean, it is.
I still like metal.
I like metal detecting,
The hunt of treasure is always what a dream of everybody, right?
What you could find.
Yeah, everybody.
You're only a beep away. You're only one beep away.
Yeah, I remember one time me and my father, I tried to get my father into metal detecting, and we go out to this place out in Plain City, and we're hiking around, and he's got his new metal detector. And this is the very truth. I go, this is how it works, Dad. You know, and I swing it over this spot. Beep, 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 beep. I said, check this out. I dig it up and it's this old, like Barber or Silver Dime, like really old. And it's like, wow, that's how you do it right there. You know, we never found another one the whole rest of the day. but when I was showing him, that's the luck of treasure.
It's like, it's like winning at the casino first pull, right? And then you never win again.
Exactly. And then you wind up broke as an old man because you're still chasing that luck.
Still metal detecting.
Yeah. I can get a quarter for that slot machine.
So the weather's nice. Have you had the vet out?
Yeah.
We bought you a Corvette the worst time ever. I thought Christmas was the best. I was like, man, a new Corvette for Dad for Christmas. Now I didn't even realize you can't even drive that thing in the winter.
Yeah.
Terrible time to buy a Corvette. Don't ever buy your dad a Corvette in the winter.
So I had it out 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Drove it all over.
You like it?
Yep. Drove it all over.
Now, do you like the Z06?
No, I like the new one better.
You like the new one. Good. Do you have the top off?
I didn't. I was going to come over and have you show me how to.
It's just a button. You just press it the whole thing.
I thought you said there was something maybe I had to pull off or whatever.
Nope.
No,
windows have to be up or something.
It's so easy.
The car is incredibly smooth, unlike the Z06. The Z06 was like bam, 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 bam.
More go-karty.
Yeah, this one's more like
luxury.
It doesn't feel like quite the race car the other one was.
Nice.
Well, and in fact, when I give it gas, it don't quite feel like the same Z06. Horsepower. The Z06 felt powerfuler. Mm. Now, maybe that's just because the rear wheels would spin out and you'd go about sliding off the road because about killed myself.
So when I took your Z06 to my garage, I'd never driven the car, ever. You had it many years. I'd never driven it. And as soon as I got in it and I was turning down a road, I just gave it a little punch and that whole back end just let loose. And the first thought was, why did I ever buy this for my dad? It felt dangerous.
The cars are dangerous.
Yeah.
If you got any spark in
it. You got to be disciplined with it, for sure.
Maybe that's why they're old men cars, so they don't do that.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Well, there's some injustice to it because the speed limits don't justify all the power. But
that was a hard car to get, man. That was like a 2-year wait list on that car, and I wanted it in 2 months. So I about gave up 4 or 5 times. The country hits me up one day. He's like, I think I got the connection for this Corvette.
Wow.
Yeah.
You did that country?
Well,
so how's that motor work?
I don't know, but I do know. I just learned that it's only a push of a button to put down the top.
Yeah.
But this was Roman and Brittany. You guys talked about this idea for a long time, and it's crazy, like how hard you guys reached out to a lot of major sources on that, and like it was definitely a process. Mm-hmm. And one day Roman and Brittany was talking to me. I was like, I think I may got somebody. And is it okay if I could have your blessings so I could go talk and do some things? And one thing I try to do is always with the family, I stay in my lane, because I don't know how serious this was, but what it is. And he was like, well, if you could get it done, like, let's get it done. So this is fine. And I actually made some phone calls and we got it done. And that was a fun process seeing you two put that car. I have never seen something like that happen, because it's a difference between buying one. You guys built it.
Yeah, we got to go in, Dad. We got to go in and sit on a computer and build every part of that car. And it has the Smile More plaque inside.
Well, you guys ever want to take it on a date?
Yeah, I probably would like to take that out. That'd be fun.
You got the key anytime.
Yeah. So any other childhood memories that you have?
Childhood memories. Yeah, you on your dirt bike constantly and digging the earth. You were really an earth digging kid.
I did like to dig.
I did. You did. I mean, you destroyed my backyard. When you moved out and I was putting in the orchard, I had to hire the kid down the street with a bulldozer to come in and level the yard again. Like, you destroyed it.
I remember being young. We would dig a hole in the backyard, me and the neighbor kids and Dale. And this is the kind of dad that I had. This guy would go out the night before and he would hide things in that hole, like a coin or I still remember this like block that we found with all the ancient writing on it that we dug up that dad had put in there prior. But to us kids, we thought we found treasure in this hole. You don't even remember doing it.
Probably not.
But he would do this. He would, they're digging holes. Let's go put stuff in there so they keep digging holes.
I love to play with the kids, though. I mean, come on.
You did.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not close to your kids and you're not raising them and you're not, like, enjoying their company, it goes by, like, instantly. And you're really missing out. It's your loss. It's your loss, man.
There's another reason I wanted to be a young dad.
Yeah.
Because you had the energy.
It's true.
You worked night and day, and then you would come home and still find time to entertain.
When you guys were graduating, I was only about 40, so I still had some fire in me.
Yeah, I'm going to be 85 when Knox graduates.
Good luck, son! Let me get your walker. You can come to my graduation.
Yeah. Dude, I hate it. I hate that. But, I had a lot of friends with older parents.
Maybe I'll graduate early.
I had a lot of friends with older parents, and they did well.
It's amazing how, like, I sit back and I'm listening how you pursued your career and how your dad supported you. The most interesting thing that stood out is that when you showed him the first check of 50 cents, you not one time told him, now I don't know why you're wasting your time with this.
That was probably the more logical response.
Because that's the logical response of, like, a parent going, you put in all this time, then you're like, you see, you can make something out of this. Now keep pursuing content. Keep doing.
In another year, you'll have a dollar.
Yeah. And so that's pretty interesting. But also, from everything he learned, you have a hidden gift that mind-blown me. And I don't know if you learned this from your father. You're an amazing painter.
This is true.
And
this is true.
I would like to talk about that, because you have a gift like no other.
That's actually a good story because you painted as a kid, as I was a kid.
That's
we grew up in a house with you painting all the time. These big, beautiful paintings. They're big, you know, 4-6 foot wide paintings. Mm-hmm. And Granny's Garden is one I remember really well.
As an artist, you don't think of them as that great.
No, nah, you're just being humble.
No, man, no.
But the cool part of the story is that he quit painting for it's a true. Very long time. It's How true. Many years?
30 years.
30 years.
To the almost the year.
We're in Hawaii. Brittany and I, as a family, we're all in Hawaii. Some viewers bring us some gifts to our hotel. And inside this gift is a little paint by numbers kids coloring book.
I still remember the whale on it.
The next day or two, my dad is out there doing all these kids paint by numbers. And that inspired him to start painting.
That was the trigger.
And now you've been painting ever since.
Yeah.
You've painted 100 paintings since then.
Yeah, I probably have. Yeah, it
lit me. So whoever you are out there.
Yeah.
Inspired.
The girl in Hawaii with the paint set for the kids.
Yeah. For the kids.
But the kids didn't want to do it.
No, they didn't. They're in Hawaii. They want to go swim. And
yeah.
I thought it was a great thing to do in the evening when the... Yeah, it was cool. So yeah, I have continued to pursue that.
Never know what's going to inspire you.
Well, I mean, this goes for everybody. If you quit, you lose. I mean, if you never quit something, you'll never quit getting better. I don't care how bad. When I see like my first paintings, it's like I want to steal them and hide them and either destroy them or paint over them. Hmm. Like whatever you do and you're consistent at it, you will get good at it or better at it. And yeah, you just can't quit. If I would have not quit for the 30 years, I would have had to neglect everybody, but there was a lot of important things in that time. Sometimes you got to put things away because of the importance of others for a while.
Yeah, that takes me to my next topic. You you were in a rock band.
And I,
as a kid, I remember being, you know, a kid, and you would bring Dale and I to your concerts.
Yeah.
Most of the time, that was a bar.
We did do a few of those.
And my ears still ring to this day. But
that may be true. You've had tinnitus since you were a kid.
Yeah, I have ringing of the ears, probably.
You might want to cut back
You're
on
just
the
too
salt.
Dang loud.
Yeah. But, well, that's another thing that you got to get better at, too.
But there was a point in your life where you probably assumed you were going to be a rock star. That was your goal.
It was like one of my young dreams.
It was.
I'm going to be a rock star.
You're a great, phenomenal guitar player. You sing. What was the moment? Give me the lowdown. There's people listening right now that has a dream that may not be fitting in with their home life. You definitely chose mom and your two boys over this rock star life.
I hope never question would ever come up like that, but I'll tell it from my point of view, and sorry about all the guys who may have been involved, but we had a pretty good band. We were really starting to get, and this is my side of the story. They can all hate me for it or they can love me for it. But we were going to do, it was a pig fest or a pig roast or something. It was an Oktoberfest type thing, and we were really getting some nice crowds. But all the guys in the band wanted to rent a limo and do a bunch of LSD, and they were all going to ride tripped out to this show.
That's what rock stars do.
That's what rock stars do.
It was in the 80s.
It was. And I opted out. And we did the show, and actually the show was fantastic. I don't know how tripped up the guys were or not or whatever. But everyone did a really good show. And then the very next day, one of the guys from the band, he really just chewed me out to no end and said, he's out, you know, he's out. And so that was kind of the end of that. And then I was like, well,
he's out or you're out?
He was out.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, he was an important part, integral part of the band as well. And I didn't quit playing, but, you know, it really set everything back a lot. And I knew at that moment I had made the right decision still. Mm-hmm. There's nothing material that is going to satisfy you later if your family's destroyed. Nothing. I don't care how much money, whatever you got, there's nothing that is better than having a great family. There's nothing more miserable than having your son in a prison or a jail, or he's in trouble, or he's in drugs. I mean, those are just, they age you out. They mm-hmm. age you out. They're going to wear you out. Mm-hmm. And that goes for children with parents who have the same problem. You know, it's miserable to grow up in a home, and you see this all the time too, where your parents are the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, they abandon you, then you have to just kind of catch the first train that goes by, and that's usually not a good train.
Yeah. And had you not given up rock and roll, you probably wouldn't have found the rope factory, which is a whole nother story.
Yeah. So
I
if
mean,
you want,
how did you get into rope?
So if you really want to talk about some deeper stuff, yeah, if you want to lay some really some deeper stuff on the table, I tell you a little bit about my life. Some of the intricate moments. And this is like Roman was first born. Wasn't far in the marriage. I was doing rock shows. We weren't a very great rock band or anything. Probably getting by at best. One of my problems, I never felt like I was really replicating people very well. And I probably wasn't. I wasn't that great of a musician when I was younger either. But I was into a lot of trouble too. I mean, there's a reason that we were, you know, guys were planning, limos and LSD and all that stuff. Everyone's rocking out. But I wasn't happy with my life. And this gets into a little bit of spiritual stuff. Hopefully it helps somebody out there. But I remember going into my basement and I was miserable. And I got on my knees and I prayed to God. I prayed to him. I held him, like I said, like, I held him like accountable. I said, like you said, if I knocked on the door, you know, you'd answer the door. And I made a bunch of promises and everything. And it was pretty humbling.
I'll pay you back.
I'll make it up to you, buddy.
I'll pay you back.
Little buddy, help me out. So it's a true story. So after that, I was like, I was pretty done with the whole everything. I was kind of trying to change my ways, get out of all that crap. And I'd say, and I'm just going to give you this number because it's kind of a biblical number, but I'd say about 40 days later, I'm in my bed. This is honest to God's true story. So I'm in my bed, and me and Sue are sleeping there. And I wake up to an absolute whirlwind of sound. And it's light and sound. And I look up, and I see a whirling light above my bed. And I did not have to open my mouth to speak to it at all. But instinctively, as if I'd asked this question 1,000 times, I asked that, I knew it was a being. I asked that being, I said, "Are you of my God?" As if I'd said that 1,000 times to 1,000 people somewhere in outer space at some time. And I don't mean that to belittle the situation, but that's just what came out of me.
Just comfort.
Yeah.
It was just,
I said, "Are you of my God? Like, who are you?" And did not answer me, but he shot me with this incredible feeling of comfort and peace. Like, poof. And I was like, wow. Okay. You know, in my mind, okay, this is good. And from there, the being went from light to boom, standing right next to my bed.
And that's some chills.
I know.
So this being stands right next to my bed. And I'm like this in my bed. And he leans over and he says, "I have a gift for you. I have a gift for you. I have a gift for you." And he does that 3 times and he splits. Now, you were like a baby in a crib. Sue sees nothing, hears nothing, doesn't know what's going on. The being splits, and that's pretty much the end of the story. I never really quit trying to be better after that. Like whatever happened, I'd already made a commitment kind of, you know, to start living God's ways. Like, you know, who is he? What's he doing? What's his commandments? Maybe I better look at some of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I was sincere about improving. And so I think he really did send me a messenger to help me.
Holy smokes.
And in all honesty, things never went bad again. Prior to that, I would describe my life as sitting in a car and spinning your wheels in the mud. Like no matter what would happen, good or bad, something would set you back to zero mm-hmm. again. You know what I mean? Like, have you ever been there? Like,
oh yeah.
You know,
everyone can relate to that.
You finally get the car running and then something else breaks or you're sick or, you know, it's just one thing after another. And then after that, things changed. And then I've had several serious experiences like that in my life. And I'll tell you one, because one of them kind of relates to Sue. And so, but anyhow, my life became prosperous after that. Mm. The idea of the rope factory came very shortly thereafter.
So that wasn't even around until after this experience.
And it really came kind of from a forgiveness thing from my own father, because for a while, my father was really upset that I started a company
sure.
like his, not that far away. And, but I almost went bankrupt. Like I started the company and I had zero money. At that point, I ran out of everything too.
Right.
It was winter, I was doing boat work, and guess what? People don't do a lot of boat work on boats in Ohio, especially around Christmas time. So Christmas had come. We're living in that house. I'm up to, even though it was pittance to live there, I was still broke. And there was not going to be a Christmas. So I kind of had given up. And I was like, I'm just waiting for papers, you know, something that really just put an end to this existence as I know it.
Jeez.
But my father stopped by. And one of the deals with my father is if you work the summer, you can split. Just cover me for the summer because it's not fair. I cover you all winter and then, you know,
yep.
you leave me in the summer. So I stuck it out, but it left me high and dry. And so even against my father's hatred for what I had done, he came over and he brought me money.
Dang.
And I know that was super hard for him.
Absolutely.
He brought me money and he brought me a camera. He says, well, this is kind of a bonus for work. And I think he really knew that I was done. I don't know how he knew, but he spiritually knew. And so it was like there was forgiveness at that moment. Hmm. Like, and he released me from like a curse that I'd kind of brought on myself, but that everyone had judged me for doing that, because that's hard.
A big move.
It's like really
it's a
hard
big move. It'd be like if I started a rope factory.
Exactly. And you know everything about everything. You know what I mean? It's like
all my secrets.
Yeah.
And customers.
And every customer can call you and call him and get the best. You know, it was brutal and it was hard. And I tried not to step on him, but it was impossible. We get the same phone calls. And that's why it was really cool. So my dad says, hey, we both need rope. Let's go up to this Amish rope factory. Actually, we didn't know it was Amish. I'm sorry. It was just a rope factory.
Yeah.
And I jumped the gun there. We drive all day up to this place up in Akron, and we get there, and it's the middle of a field. We're like, well, where's this place? And I said, this Amish person comes out of his house, says, oh, they're down the road, you know, over there. You'll find them. So we go down the road. And sure enough, there's two Amish people out in the field. And they got this, what's called a rope walk. And they're literally pulling the strands of rope out and then running it back with a paddle. And they twist it up, you know. And
they're like hand braiding it.
Twisting.
Okay.
Yeah, you do that with a twisting operation. Well, that being said, it was actually pretty marvelous. I couldn't believe how much rope you can make in a field. Honest. I mean, these guys had it down, man. They were really chucking it out. But it wasn't what I needed. We needed a specific type of solid braid and everything. When we left that place, we were really disappointed. But when I was on my way home, this thing just went bing. It's like,
light bulb.
I need to do that. I need to make exactly what I need. I can do that.
That is so strange.
And so,
Rope Factory.
So,
right?
It literally beamed me so hard. Like, it was all I could think about for a super long time. Like, a long time. Like, I've never gotten tired of it. Whatever energized
you love me, it.
Yeah.
You love it.
It's super cool.
I tell everybody, you're
still there when you don't really have to be.
You're
there.
The happiest when you're in your factory.
There's enough science the Willy there. Wonka there's enough rope. Development there. There's enough everything there. It's still cool.
Do you think
it's cool that, to me. I like using my hands.
Do you think that each tap, each gift, each time was three gifts?
I have no idea. I got some good kids. I mean, where do you go? Where's your gift?
One of them. 100%.
So, yeah, I mean.
No, but like, you're talking about this beaming inspiration. I'm going to start a rope company that you've never forgotten.
Well, have you ever got a gift so vague you don't know what it is?
I'm sure millions of them.
But I mean, someone gives you a gift, says, hey, there's a gift for you, but you don't know what it is. Yeah. Which means whatever you do, you have to capitalize on it to see if it's going to come to fruition. I think that's what it is. And then you'll find out where those gifts lay. You may have to try a few things, but I think in this case, it was pretty much whatever I really wanted to work at. It was blessed. And
jeez
my Louise. Kids. And I know, I don't know how many people know anything about biblically, but he says God says for those who love him, he blesses their generations to generations to generations. So hopefully that's all part of it.
No, I mean,
get some of that,
I
you know?
I certainly feel blessed. There's no denying.
But then we'll get into a little harder stuff. So later on.
By the way, country, cancel the limo and the LSD. we're not going to be riding that to lunch after
this. We'll just drive our normal car.
How's that LSD work, country?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know, man. The thing is there are things that happen to people that change their life forever, mm-hmm. good and bad. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to hit a low spot to seek a higher spot.
Mm-hmm. Rock bottom.
You have to really, like, run out of gas and start begging for help.
Yeah.
But after that, things got better. And then I want to scoot up to an event that happened prior to Sue's death. And that was kind of really extraordinary too. I've had some really serious.
That was by the way, that was 3 years this week.
That's right.
3 years.
That's right. And so once again, this is in my sleep.
Oh, this is crazy. You told me this one in the hospital.
I might need some tissues.
So Sue's death was not 100% unexpected, which is kind of weird. And I'll tell you what happened to me. So once again, I'm in bed, I'm sleeping, but everyone has different levels of, I want to say, dreams, visitations, revelations given to them. This one, I'm in a vision where Christ comes to me. He's walking up to me. And what's funny is when he's coming up to me, I have this microphone in my hand. I act like I have a microphone in my hand.
You're just pretending.
Yeah, I'm just pretending, and I'm joking with him. And I'm singing the song by Dean Martin. And Dean Martin, and I don't know where this came from. This is the honest truth. I don't know where it came from, but instead, Dean Martin sings a song called Welcome to My World. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. You can look it up or something. But I change the words when he's walking up to me and I say, welcome to your world. Welcome to your world. And and he's just loving it. And we're just like gassing and laughing about all this stuff. But then he sits me down and he says, I have to separate you and Sue for a little while. Mm. Just like that. And he goes into some other stuff, which I can't remember a thing he said. But that was the main thing. I have to separate you guys for a while.
How long was that?
So I wake up. I tell Sue, I said, man, I had kind of a terrible dream and a good dream all at the same. Like, me and Christ are just joking around, laughing. Yeah, he's a great guy, but it is his world. That's the thing. I made no bones about it. I knew it was his world. Mm. I knew that when you eat sweet corn, that was his invention. When you eat a tomato, it was his invention. Like,
wow.
He made those things. Like, I knew who he was.
Wow.
And you know, all the intricacies of ourselves, I knew who he was in this vision. So I tell Sue the dream, and I'm like, he has to separate us for a while. I didn't know what that meant. Mm-hmm. I did not know what that meant. That means I'm going on a trip. She's going on a trip.
Maybe a mission. Maybe,
something. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of weird things can happen to people. But the day she passed away, and this was about, in fact, yeah, let's be clear. It was probably almost a year. We had all like, well, it's just a dream.
Yep.
It's just a dream.
Of course.
You know? We had gotten to where we were comfortable again. You know what I mean?
We're like, not getting separated.
Everything's good, yeah. You know? But when I walked out and saw her, the second I saw her, I knew that was the moment.
Like,
boom.
The whole vision.
This is it. Vision fulfilled. And so, honestly, it helped me take it better. But I know that she's in great hands.
Like, absolutely.
Sue was an angel when she died. Man. Like, she had worked, she'd perfected herself.
She worked her booth.
You know what I mean? Yeah, she worked her booth. She had went from, my description was.
She went from the alley cat, the wild one, to.
Exactly.
Really becoming like, God, it's hard to put into words how this woman.
She became self-serving.
She would show up and always have something for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like she did everything for everybody.
Yeah. She could not do it. She'd gotten just to
her. The whole passing of mom was so unbelievably strange. It doesn't add up in my head. You know, she fell off a scooter. I don't know.
Now, be clear on the scooter, because a scooter sounds like a motorcycle.
No, this was
these are the stand up two wheel things that, you know, like kids ride, but they had a little motor on them.
Yeah, it was like a little cruising stand up scooter that you'd rent, an electric scooter downtown, right? Not only did she pass away when she fell, but she had a closed casket. And that just, to me, just doesn't add up. How do you fall that hard?
I think the angels threw her down and made sure she was not coming back or
whatever. I mean, I've thought about this 1,000 times.
She might have passed out on the scooter. No, it didn't really make a lot of sense.
I don't know how high you need to fall to have a closed casket, but off a scooter just doesn't seem high enough.
Now, she did have a terrible set of lungs. I don't know whether she would have made it through anyhow. She had conquered smoking.
Yes, she did.
But it had taken a toll on her.
She was hacking for the rest of her life.
Yeah, it took a toll on her. For all you smokers out there, you might want to think about that.
It definitely beat her up. But, you know, a little easier to talk about now. It's been 3 years. But
also, the other weird thing was the Christmas before, she had a cough for like 6 months or something.
Yeah.
And I remember Kurt coming to me. He's like, make sure, you know, you and Jess, whatever, like, you guys really take care of Sue this Christmas. And so that was her last Christmas.
Like, you already knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had, after the vision, I treated her like gold. I didn't know what was going on. It could have been me leaving for all I knew.
Yep.
There wasn't clarity in that, just that we were getting separated. But I treated her like gold. I really saw who she was towards the end. Like it was a strange moment.
She's glowing.
There was a strange moment. I've never told anyone this, but there was a strange moment on the beach at the very last days.
We were at her for those favorite listening. Spot.
Yeah, we were on the beach.
We were on vacation when this all happened.
She had a silly big hat on to keep her face shaded, and she looked extraordinarily kind of old to me. But I remember looking at her and thinking, wow, I could love that girl forever. Mm. And it was like one of my last thoughts of her. And I could see the old woman coming out in her, like, comes out in all of us. Eventually, we are going to get old and, you know, you're going to have some mercy. You need mercy. So
it was a strange week. every kid in the family, from Noah to Cain to Cora, all had like one-on-one with mom, which was strange. And then the final night, which was my birthday.
And she also made us go.
She made us go to dinner.
She made us go early, but on vacation. She's like, see if the house is available. Let's leave this Wednesday instead of on Saturday.
Which, by the way, they were only playing at this restaurant. They were only playing music like Dean Martin. That.
Well, if they played a Welcome to My World.
I have no way of knowing, but I remember thinking later. But that last night was insane. It was my birthday, and we had to watch this stupid movie as a family.
What was the name of that movie?
Quake.
Don't ever call that movie stupid.
Mom and Dad liked
this
movie.
That's what they were arguing
about. It's called The Quake, and it was fantastic.
Mom and Dad insisted that it's about bedtime. We all, as a family, watched this movie. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the crazy part about the movie, and I don't know another movie that ends this way. The mom dies at the end. That is the final scene.
But you don't want her to, because she's the only one that had the compassion and the...
But it's left the father with the kids. And I don't know another movie where the mom dies at the end.
Yeah. We're like, she didn't need to die for
that is
the
final conversation that we had as a family. I did not see mom again.
That's right.
Until she was passed.
That's right.
That is wild. Because we were all discussing, well, why did the mom have to die? And you're like, well, the father had to learn how to live without her. Well, that next morning, mom passed.
Yeah, like.
There was some bizarre, I'm telling you, you're talking about spiritual things and things that are hard to fathom for some people. This was a very spiritual event to me. Mm-hmm. Things just don't add up properly to me. There's too many weird...
It's almost like you can see behind the scenes too well.
There's too many weird things that had to happen for her to pass the way she did. And that's just a tough one.
Now, then I'm going to tell you one little other part that's really weird. And this was another like vision. And I have to conclude with this as far as this type of discussion was. So I have another vision. Sue's still alive. But I'm with a different woman. And this woman in the dream, and I'll just tell it how it is, this woman I was supposed to love in the dream. And it was a really, really strange dream. And so I tell Sue about this. They're not like dreams. They're more important than a dream you forget in 2 hours.
Seeing
you know?
Something.
These are like very bold impressions laid on you. Mm-hmm. I told Sue about it, and some other people are standing around. It really freaked me out. I was like, it seemed so like natural and important to be with this other being. Mm. And I told her about it, and everyone knew and everything. And then after she passed away, I swear I met that person. And I just want everyone to know I got remarried, and I'm married to that woman now. And it's just... really been a very spiritual ride.
Big roller coaster.
It's so wild. I know for you know, a lot of our viewers, they get this. They're all in on this type of topic, right? Mm-hmm. They believe in it. For those that have no faith or don't believe in this, probably sounds like you're high as a kite right now.
The LSD's
kicking in. But I will say you are... There's really no denying things in your life that have added up to these visions. Whether they're dreams or not, they're happening. Mm-hmm. And I'm scared to even ask if you've had any about me.
I haven't. As far as the kids.
Let's go.
Yeah, as far as the kids, I just bite my teeth about everybody living through another day in the world. Like,
So
I think everybody right now is literally just being bombarded with weird stuff.
It's like we're all surviving.
Not
right
only
now.
That, it's all stuff that's really challenging our moral fiber. Mm. Like, is that legit? Is that not legit? Do we go this way? Are we going the way with the world? Are we going that way? Yeah, we gonna let it go that way? I mean, we're all under this pressure, and then I'm not your age. I don't have kids. I don't have to see my kids anymore. Being tempted off like that. And so even though I worry about you guys, no matter what, you know what I mean? are they really going to hold it together? You know, so, and I want the best for everybody and my kids and everyone I meet. I'll tell them my stories, because I'll tell you, in the end, if you're not able to make someone's life better, your resistance kind of, you're just drag on the system. You gotta,
it's having charity.
Yeah, you gotta get in there and help everybody. And
so I want to touch on you being remarried. This is something that's probably that probably caught everybody off guard.
You've already been married for how long?
I have purposely not vlogged that.
Oh, I know that.
It's been,
and it's okay.
It's a hard transition. It's a hard one to swallow. I remember when I learned that you were even seeing this woman, I hit me like a ton of bricks, dude.
Yeah.
I know. As kids, there's no way that anyone you're going to bring into your life is going to add up to their mother.
Right.
Even if they're rotten mothers, it's still, that's not my mom, right. You know. Mm-hmm. And I mean, where do you go with that? I mean, there's no way to appease your children like that. I mean, that's just super hard.
Yeah, and at the same time, as children, we want our father to be happy.
Yeah.
And that's one thing we couldn't deny. You know, we had to accept it, but there was no way to deny, like, dad's in a better place right now.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's not good for men to be alone. I don't know about women, but it's not good for men to be alone. You'll turn into a pervert. You need that balanced structure in your life.
Absolutely.
That adventure.
Yeah, we're not designed to run around without a wife. I mean, a wife. You know,
a wife.
Yeah, we need.
I get it.
Single leads to trouble, and it's funny how we met. Like, I mean, there was an instant connection, and her personality matched. And
just meant to be.
And she was just like, there's that girl in that dream. Mm. And I couldn't deny that.
Not at this point.
Yeah, I couldn't deny that. And so she's a beautiful person, and we've been very happy, so.
Yeah, I know. And that's, you can't deny that.
Yeah.
There's no arguing
with it. We've been bugging and rugging, and so.
Yeah.
So you've been married, what, a year now? Has it been a year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much about a year.
And it's a wild one.
Yeah, for the kids, it's miserable. I know.
Well, it's.
But it's not. We see you happy, and we see that.
It's.
You know, we were worried when you were alone. We're like, should we make him move in with us? Should we, like.
I did. You know, I offered it. Yeah, I offered
it. Well, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, we don't want you to be alone either.
I see a lot of people that, had I been older, I might have opted for never remarrying.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I still had some life in me, I think. And this goes back to everything else, and that is, you're super selfish if you're not sharing yourself. Mm-hmm. You're just super selfish. If you can't love another person and help be a team with someone else, you're selfish. I don't know whether anyone likes that or not, but that's just like, you know,
no, I agree with
you're holding yourself back, and you know why? Because the other person might burn you, might do this, might do that. You know, you got to help. You know,
yeah,
you're just selfish if you're not sharing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We're not supposed to be islands. And you look at all the rich men of the world; they may get other women when they're older, but they always ditch. They always ditch the wife that made them rich. You know what I mean? They wind up losing a lot of money, but they ditch the wife that makes them rich. And
it does happen.
Yeah.
Time and time.
You look at a lot of them, and, you know, I didn't do that. I stuck it out to the end there.
I think the three richest men in the world had divorces in the last year, right?
Oh, I have
it's
no idea.
It's pretty close,
Bezos,
right?
Bezos, Musk, they all split from their...
Really?
Who's the other guy?
Well, Trump had...
Bill Gates.
Yeah, Gates, yeah. Trump. Yeah. I mean, all of them have had the women that made them. You know, they fought for when they were nothing. And then as soon as they get the power... And it could have been the women that ran off.
Sorry,
too,
Brett.
But, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, well. But, you know, I stuck it out to the end, and I would have.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would have ran that line to the end of the road. Mom's an
absolute superstar.
My fate got twisted.
Incredible.
Mom's such an angel. You know, the kids always have vlogs on the TVs now. It's like a journal for
Yeah,
us.
And you hear her voice in the background. It's like,
and I walk in and I see Mom, and it's such a special moment every time I see her. It's like I've captured memories of her in these videos. And it's even crazier now. It's like some videos Mom's in, Zeus is in. There's a lot of these people and parts of our life that actually aren't here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy to have that documented. It's really weird.
You know, it's really weird. I'll tell you a weird story. So I have a picture. This is terrible, but I have a picture of Sue. Like, it's like that big. Uh-huh. And I always had it up on top of this, top of a cabinet thing. It has been there forever since she passed away. I stuck it up there.
Yeah.
When I brought Barb over to my house, the thing fell off in the back.
No way.
And was gone.
No way.
Honest to God. It sat there the whole time. And when I brought her over, I was like, oh my gosh, the pain. It was gone. And later, like a month later, I was like, what happened to it? I look back and there it is in the back, crashed down to the ground.
You don't think Barb moved it?
No. Not even a possibility.
Oh my God.
Not even a possibility. No way, no how.
You couldn't reach it, right?
Couldn't reach it. Is that the strangest thing? I mean, it
just keeps getting stranger, honestly.
Yeah, that's a strange story, but it is honest to God true. That thing disappeared like the very moment I was like, because that would have been kind of uncomfortable. But
jeez Louise, yeah. Dude.
But
that's very strange.
Somebody pushed it off. And it wasn't me, and it wasn't her. But that's a kind of weird story.
That is a weird story.
Mm-hmm. So where do we go from here?
That's such good stuff, man. Some of that stuff's so deep.
I remember we always said special moments together when we used to go out to lunch all the time. When you used to take your, we used to have lunch at, Charlie's
in the bowling alley.
Yeah.
So you bought me a lot of time. There was a pretty dead void there for a couple of years.
Yeah, when Mom passed, Country really.
Yeah, Country Me hooked up. Yeah.
You guys were bowling.
Yeah, we were bowling competitors.
Yes.
Yeah. And he got tired of me beating him, and that was the end of that.
I went to order my own bowling ball. Like, man.
Yeah, he was taking
Did you ever get your own bowling ball?
You know what? We talked about this, and I still want to go. And matter of fact, I think we were talking about that the other day.
Yeah,
like, I'm ready for you.
Yeah, and your wife likes bowling.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah,
I can't believe
you're neglecting that.
Yeah. I mean, she's
but I heard you're trying to get a few strikes.
I'm trying. But yeah, man, we used to have a
they got educational videos on that now.
Roman has a class.
I'm outrunning dad now by two.
Oh.
Creating children. But the one funny moment with your mom, Roman, is I remember we're in the Bahamas. And how you two inspired me to get my scuba license.
Mm. Mm.
And
that's true.
I remember we go scuba diving for the first time, and Roman picks the shark for us to swim with the shark dive.
Yes.
Like,
sir.
He didn't pick like just a regular scuba dive. He picked the one that, you remember?
We went do it.
Yeah, we and threw you in up.
And she said no. I'm not going in that.
Mom did.
Yeah, mom said no. She's like, I'm not going in that. But then no one wanted to jump in first. And she goes, Country, protect Roman. I said, man,
I'll dive right in there for you.
If anybody's going to be eating, I got a lot of meat on my bone.
And we were calling you shark bait the whole trip. Shark bait.
And she didn't want to do it. And she.
Do you blame her?
And that was the first time, like, we went down. I remember coming up. She was so happy to see all of us come back up.
Yeah.
Well, there was a couple really spooky moments.
And she says she never, never, never turns away an opportunity to dive with us. And in that moment, I remember going back to the room and the very next day, I asked you, I said, hey, I got to talk to you about something really important. And you're like, what's up, country? Like, what happened? I said, it's a possibility. Can I ask, can I stay in your room? And you
Oh, yeah.
Now I know where you're going. And I couldn't make this up. I said, I got a big rat in my room. and you looked at me, you go, country, where is it? And I was like, man, it's in there. And I seen it, and I showed you the video.
Well, we all went down to your
place. And your son didn't believe me. And yeah. I was like.
Well, here's why I didn't believe him. He comes to my room, he asks me for some Advil. Mm. I'm like, here you go, here's some Advil.
LSD.
Some time goes by, and he's like, hey, I need some more Advil. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? You just took, he's like, I got a rat in my room. And you were saying that this rat stole your Advil. Yeah. And I'm thinking like, come on, dude. You're going to make up a story about a rat stealing your Advil so you can get more Advil. You sound like a junkie. Right? And I grab my vlog camera. We run into his room. Can't find this thing anywhere. And I think he's making it up. We open his drawer. Everything that's in his suitcases, all his candy, all his pills, everything is in this sock drawer. This rat took everything from his nightstand, took it from his luggage. Piles of Advils eaten. Jolly Ranchers eaten.
Yeah.
Hit a pile of snacks. And I'm like, you do got a rat.
And he puts the camera down. We tore the room apart.
Yeah.
We put the camera down.
Turn it off.
The last draw, he pulls out. This thing just shoots out.
Off camera. Jumps out of the drawer. I'm like jumping out of
and
the bed.
And I'm out of that room. Yeah, I'm gone. I'm like, Roman, you on your own?
We did end up getting that rat on camera, though. So it's a true story.
It's a true story, I remember.
It's a true story.
Yeah.
And these are the moments that I'll come back and like, these are the things that we constantly laugh at all the time where I'm like, your son never believes anything that I tell him. And in these moments that I will have and I will talk to you about, man, I was like, why does your son not think I lie when I tell him this story? And
they're just bizarre stories.
And I was like, I can't make this up because with you guys, like, I have done some interesting things. But when I came to Ohio, Roman had me jump the bike. That was like super nervous to me. Then he takes me on this ice pond thing where he goes, we're gonna go ahead and I'm gonna take my K&M and I'm gonna turn. And he goes off and I go, oh my God, I just seen this truck flying down 100 miles per hour on the ice.
Yep.
And he goes to me, country, stop lying. And I was like, Roman, I was like, can't make this up, man. And he goes to me, you're lying. Soon enough, I was so happy for the first time in my life because he always comes to country, you don't believe you. This truck comes flying down on the ice.
Flying.
And with me, I'm like, I told you, man. He goes, oh my God. He was like, I didn't believe you. But that Bahamas trip, not to come back, man, was the funnest time I had with the family. And to this day, I have that amazing family pic we all took together. Yeah.
So country, I gotta say something to you. The reason we didn't believe you, it's because you still have a mysterious past.
Yes.
And you never talk about it.
No.
And you never reveal what's happened prior to you meeting us.
Yeah.
He's the mystery man.
You're a mystery man.
I'm the mystery man. You know?
Like, I know you from where I met you.
Yeah.
There's no, he just appeared. It's like you're a historyless person.
Yes.
You know it's a crazy story?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever talked about this. Country met his family because of our vlogs. Somebody recognized him in the vlogs. And this is a true story.
Oh my God,
Britton. Mm-hmm. This is a true story.
This is. I reached out
this
to
just
Britton
recently.
I told her about that when I was, because I didn't know how to handle it.
He didn't know his family. And they recognized this grown man now, looked like his father.
From a father's side.
No.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. No.
Your son?
No, so my father, I don't know, my father had, like, his family, I never met my family's from my father's side. And I knew he had relatives, but I just didn't really know, like, who the family members were. And YouTube was a vessel of my family's from my father's side finding me, and the majority of them live in Orlando, Florida. And they recognized me. Was the bet that I shaved my beard.
When he shaved.
And
so
the family reached out to me, and I didn't believe it at first until they sent me a picture of my father. And then I learned a lot about my father.
Yeah, what'd you learn?
I learned my father wasn't raised from his family. You know, in a way, their family took him in. So, and I learned a lot that my father has a brother, two sisters. They're still in my life to this day, and the family.
And that's all from the videos.
From the video, I have like about 61 first cousins.
And he's gotten to meet all these people since.
I got a chance to meet them, and it was really emotional. But it's something I've been looking for my whole life. Wow. And was the fulfillment was that doesn't happen without you guys. I would never met my family. But you know, my son lives in Florida. I probably passed by them numerous times in crossings and never even knew. So, yeah, that's the blessing of what you guys have been.
That's a cool story. The YouTube vlogs brought Country and his dad's life.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest things I'm proud of.
My story's different. I had great brothers and sisters, and I had great parents.
Yeah.
They weren't rich or nothing, but they were all, my parents were, you know, you felt like you were in a fence, safe. Mm-hmm. You were safe. Maybe that's the right word.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing all that. Yeah. That's real. That's real stuff. That's not.
I hope it helps others get to where they got to go.
Yeah. I love it. I'm a little speechless. You and Mom, superstars in my life. Look up to you tremendously. I know Dale.
But you really are a superstar in my life.
You know, I got the best brother ever. This guy, everybody still thinks he's the older one. Hmm? You know, he's smarter.
He acts like the older one.
He is. He's the intelligent version.
And right? He's back at the factory pounding away.
But he's more like you. He likes it. He enjoys it.
He's good. He's smart.
He's so smart.
He loves machines and technology.
Funny. Yeah, I've been blessed with that family. Yeah. You know, that's so much of everything that I've done has been credited to my family. Mm-hmm. That's what I try to build at home with Brittany. And we have a very small circle around us. And thank you for all of that. Guys, we're going to wrap this episode up. The first episode, my dad was offended that we didn't do the "You're beautiful, you're one of a kind" smile more. So Dad, you get to end it.
You ready?
I'm ready.
You're beautiful, you're one of a kind, smile more.
If you're into designer furniture and you want the sofa that broke the internet, you don't have to go broke to get it. Because Designer Looks Furniture has all the same styles and trends and all the quality, but without the designer prices. Check them out. Designer Looks at Value City Furniture or designerlooks.com.
It takes a lot of ingredients to fix or build a car, like cooking, but without the frozen dinner easy way out. eBay Motors has 122 million parts. It's always the right fitment, so you can follow any recipe to a T. Whether it's a vintage Italian coupe that's classic like grandma's meatballs or a German luxury car that's as complicated as Oma's rouladen, to cook up something great in the garage, use the eBay Motors app or visit ebaymotors.com. Let's ride.